Today's shiur will be beginning from the top of Daf Nun Omid Aleph in Maseches Bava Basra. We recommend your printing out the Gemara Daf, and better yet, ordering your volume of the Shas Ozer pre-marked edition. We are in the middle of a discussion. So to recap a little bit of what we had seen last time, the Mishnah suggested that a person does not gain a chazoka benichse ishto in the properties of his wife, namely the use of a husband for a period of 3 years or more in his wife's properties doesn't create a status of ownership on the husband's part of those properties. A woman is not going to protest her husband's use when in fact he has peiros rights, he has fruit rights to the property anyway. The Gemara inferred from the Mishnah that if he produced a raya, namely a shtar mechira, from his wife selling the property to him, that would have value. That would indicate that he's the owner of the property. On that, the Gemara raised a question that could it not be that the wife's preparation of a document of sale to the husband was simply nachas ruach osisi lebaili, to create a sense of equanimity in the family unit, to reduce strife, so the husband would have a good feeling that she is selling him the property. You can just imagine a case where the husband would request her to sell him the property and she would refuse. What kind of family life would there be then? So her preparation of such a document of sale to him could very well not be of a serious sale nature, but simply to create a good family spirit. Nachas ruach osisi lepaili. The Gemara explains that the concept of nachas ruach osisi lepaili is in fact found in a Tanaic source. However, the Gemara says that that idea that a sale would be void based on that claim, nachas ruach osisi lepaili, was really focused on three types of fields, and those were enumerated at the closing of the Gemara we had done last time. One was a field that was written into the Ksuba. The second was a field that he delineated for her Ksuba payment, even though it wasn't written into the Ksuba document. Nevertheless, he isolated or singled out a field for Ksuba payment purposes. And third, a field that she brought in to the marriage from her family, and it was recorded in the shtar, ksuba, its value, and the husband obligates himself to compensate her for that if there should be any change in value. That's called nichsei son barzel. Those are the fields that if she were to sell to him, the sale would be void based on the claim of nachas ruach osisi lebaili. Okay, that having been said, those kind of fields, we say the sale would be void because she doesn't have serious intent to agree to the sale of those fields. The Gemara that we pick up with now, second line from the top, limute mai, where would the sale be considered valid? These, we said, the three types of fields would be a voided sale. So where would a sale be valid? The triangles that we see here represent stages in figuring out where the sale would be valid. So the Gemara asks, I lema limute shar nechosim. that the sale of other properties upon which we would say that the Mekach is Kayam. The Gemara says, Kol Shekein Dehavya Lo Eva. If she would not second a sale that he makes concerning other properties. Let us say, for example, that we're talking about fields that are other than these three fields. If they were to be opposed by the woman, then that certainly would arouse a sense of strife in the household. What we're going to do is going to take a look at the Rashbam in the middle of the narrow lines. We'll notice a squiggle underlined expression, Limute Mai, Klomar. Vilimute mai nokat gimel sodas halolu dehave mekho botel velo soda acheres. The Gemara had singled out three fields that would be a voided sale as opposed to another kind of field. I lemo limute shar nechosim ukarkos shobal hamishuabadim lo. We mentioned this in our previous shiur, that all of the properties of the husband were bound to her ksuba. De'im chozar velokach min ha'isha, yehei mekho kayom. That if the husband would sell one of those other properties, and then the buyer would try to have the woman second the motion and approve of the sale, Velo toimar nachas ruach osisi labaili, and she would be serious about her agreeing to the sale and not claim nachas ruach. Vehochi koomar rabo baravuna lo nitzrecha vechule klomar ein mishnah zu medaberes bishar nechosim. The mishnah that said mekho botel, that we saw that on the Daf Mem Tes Omid Beis in the middle of the Omid. That Mishnah is not talking about other Nechosim, and what we're doing right now in our explanations, we're going through a Hava Mina. So bear in mind that what we are going to explain now will be rejected shortly. But in the meantime, if we're to suggest that the Mishnah that says Mekho Botel refers only to those three fields, but not to other nechosim. Ela bahanoch gimel sodas, dekevan de mishubodim lo kol kach. The three fields that were delineated are really bound to her ksuba. Shein yuchodim lo, they are specified to her. Vadai lo gomra ve'akne, that she certainly would not agree to their sale. Ela nachas ruach osto labayla, and if we find her selling those properties, then it's only to create a good feeling with her husband. Avol shar sodos she'ein mishubodim lo kol kach, she'ein miyuchodim lo, but the general portfolio of properties that the husband has that are not as specified to her, vadai gomro ve'akne, there we have to play along for right now. There she would agree. Velo motzis amris amra, and she wouldn't say there nachas ruach osisi l'bayli. V'have, v'havu mekho kayom. Well, the Gemara is going to reject that claim. What does the Gemara say about that? The Gemara said, and we can read this again on the third line, that if she wouldn't second the motion on the general properties, the Gemara says, Kol Shekein Dehavya Lo Eva. That will certainly create strife between husband and wife. The Omar Lo the husband would say to her if she were to oppose the sale of the his general properties, Einayich nosat begirushin uvamisa. You, honey, are apparently anticipating my divorcing you or my dying. What kind of wife is that? That's just waiting for him to pass on or to divorce her. So, of course, she could not oppose such a sale. That would just irritate him. Hence, she plays along with the sale. That would be the ultimate case of nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. So we don't understand yet, when we refer to the woman seconding the sale, and the Mishnah that we had seen on the previous Amud said mekho botel, the Gemara had said the mekach is botel because she claims nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. She wasn't serious about the sale. The Gemara then had said that's referring to three fields. But in fact, it's not referring only to those three fields. It seems to be referring to all of his properties. So where is the case that the mekach would be kayam? Ela limute nichse malug. Maybe it's coming to exclude the case of nichse malug. Those are properties that a woman brings into the marriage that the husband does not accept on himself responsibility to maintain their value, and he has fruit rights. So maybe that kind of sale, we would be able to say mekach kayam, if she were to sell those properties to him. The Gemara rejects that as well. Ho Omar Amemar, Ish v'Isha, Shemochru b'Nichse Malug, Lo Osu v'Lo Klum. That a sale of Nichse Malug property is a non-sale. Those properties are expected to stay in the family, in the marriage unit. The Gemara responds, and you will notice a long answer that appears as a tuff that circled between the Gemara and the Tosfos. This indicates that all of the lines, in fact, there are two answers that we have, and it spans the rest of this Amud of Gemara, the rest of this page, and it goes over to Amud Beis. All of these lines are designed to be a response. The Gemara at this point says that, in fact, we are coming to exclude the Nichse Malug, that there could be a sale of the Nichse Malug, as will be explained by the Gemara. Ki Itmar de Amemar. Amemar just got finished saying that the sale of Nichse Malug by Ish v'Isha is lo osu v'lo klum. When is it lo osu v'lo klum? When is the sale of those kind of properties, those are the Nichse Malug properties, when is it no good? Hecho de zoven ihu umis. If the husband sold Nichse Malug properties and died, asyo ihi umafka. She can go to the purchasers of those Nichse Malug that bought from her husband and take them away. Inami zovno ihi umesa. Or she sold the Nichse Malug properties and then died. Osa ihu umapik. He, the husband, can come along and take it away from the purchasers. There's right now a bracketed section that we will come back to later, but it's, you notice these four lines are in brackets. We pick up avol, hecha, dizavinu travaihu li'almo. However, if you had the husband and wife joining together in selling the Nichse Malug properties to some outsider, both of them signed the document, so to speak. Inami Zovna Ihi Ledide, or she, the wife, sold the Nichse Mulug properties to him, her husband, Zvina Zvini. The sale would be good. And we will glance at the Rashbam, the lower part of the page by the asterisk. Zvinaihu Zvini, velo motzis omra, she would not be able to say, in this case of the sale of the Nichse Mulug, Nachas Ruach Hasisi Labaili. Why not? The Beshela Lo Ovda Nachas Ruach. With regard to her own properties, namely these are Nichse Mulug properties that she brought in from her home, she isn't going to be saying that through their sale she's creating a sense of Nachas Ruach, of pleasantry to her husband. Deloi Kopid Oleo Baal. The husband isn't going to be adamant about those kind of properties. V'hilkoch Shapir Kadaiko Masnisen. Therefore, the Mishnah was able to infer, the Gemara was able to infer from the Mishnah, Ho Raya Yesh. What does that mean? She'im Yesh Lo Shtar O Edim Shemochra Loi Ishtoi Nichse Malug Shala. If the husband could produce a shtar or witnesses that the wife sold to him her Nichse Malug, Have Hamekach Kayam, then the sale would be good. So to summarize at this point in the Gemara, if a husband is simply using the Nichse Malug, he would not gain a chazoka on it because he has fruit rights anyway with regard to the Nichse Malug. However, if he would be able to produce a shtar that she sold it to him, that would be a serious shtar, and her sale would be a sale with full intent, not a sale simply to make him feel good. Because, as the Rashbam point out, he would not have been makbid on her if she didn't want to sell those kind of properties to him. Probably he realizes that these are properties that are shayach to her anyway. He wouldn't expect her to sell it to him. So when she does, it's done with full sale intent. The Gemara continues, V'iboyas Ema, the Rashbam says, V'iboyas Ema, Amemar, Afilu, Kishemochro, Shnehem, Biyachad, Le'odom, Echad, Ko'omar, Delo, Osu, V'lo, Klum. Vafilu lokach tchilo mino ish vechozar velokach mino isha. According to this approach, we'll see shortly, even if they both sell the Nichse Mulug to another person, the sale would have no meaning, be void. Likewise, if someone were to buy from the man and then buy from the woman, the kol shekain, the Rashbam goes on, hecha de mocher hi lebaila, de lo havya mecher. Her sale of the property would not be valid. Umihu lo tikshi mimasnisin de daiko de have mecher. And nevertheless, even though we're saying right now that her sale of the property would be void, what about the fact we inferred from the Mishnah that if he produced a raya, a shtar, then it would be a valid sale? The Amemar, the Omar, Karebi Elozer, which we haven't seen yet. Amemar, who we're about to see in the Gemara, simply is basing his opinion on Rebbe Elozer. Amemar, we had seen earlier, that said, on the upper part of the page, Ish v'isha shemochem nichse malug lo asu v'lo klum, that's true according to Rebbe Elozer. However, our Mishnah is not in agreement with Rebbe Elozer. Our Mishnah represents another school of Tanaic thought, disagreeing with Rebbe Elozer, whom we haven't seen yet, and hence there is room to say that the sale of the woman, the woman's selling of her properties, would be a good sale. So that, let us see this inside. Notice, of course, this is part of a very long response going till the next omid. V'iboyesema, Ameymar de Omar, Kerebi Elozer. Ameymar, who had said on the upper part of the page that the mechira, the sale of Nichsei Malug, is a non-sale, which created discomfort for us because we inferred from the Mishnah that the woman who sells her property, it is a good sale. Nevertheless, Ameymar, who said what he did, goes like Rabbi Elozer, and we are emphasizing the Rabbonon disagree with that opinion, and our Mishnah goes like the Rabbonon. Hence, the sale of the Nichsei Malug would be a good sale. Desanya. The Gemara now brings a Tanaic source. In the marked edition, you notice from time to time sections of Gemara texts that are in a frame. Those are sections that are from Tanaic times. They are Mishnayos or Brises, etc. And the frame serves to set it off from the rest of the Gemara text. Before we get into the answer as directly applies to the Gemara, it's necessary for us to provide some background to the halacha we're going to be exposed to. In order to see a little bit of introductory material, let us glance at the side of our Gemara in the pre-marked edition, the outside margin. You notice Tat Nose, subcategory. Din Yoim Oyoimayim, Legabi Eved Shinimkar, V'yamshich Lavod L'Rabo Rishon Od Shloshim Yom. The truth is that even before we read our introduction, it would be beneficial for us to read two psukim from the Torah, and they appear as well on the side of your Gemara. They're from Shmos Chof Aleph, psukim Chof and Chof Aleph. We'll read the psukim. V'chi yake ish es avdo, o es amoso, bashevet. A person beats his slave or maidservant with a stick. Umeis tachas yodo, and the eved, the servant, dies. Nokom yinokem, the master is considered responsible, and he'll have to be punished for that. Ach im yoim o yomayim yamod lo yukam. Ki kaspohu. The Torah is telling us that only if he dies within a day or two of the impact, only then is the owner considered, is held responsible on capital charges. If, however, more than yomayim lapses, more than 2 days lapse, there is a leniency in the halacha with respect to owners of slaves, so that owners of slaves are considered guilty of capital charges only if the servant that he hit dies within a day or two of the actual beating. That's called the din of yoim o yomayim, day or two. So our introductory note had said, and we'll read it again, Din Yoim Yomayim Legabi Eved Shinimkar V'yamshich La'avod L'Rabo Rishon Od Shloshim Yom. An owner of a servant entered the following deal. He sold his servant to someone else, and they made a condition that the servant will continue working for the first owner for an additional 30 days. Mi nechshav raboy, who is considered the owner Hamocher o Halokeach. Legabi din yom o yomayim. With regard to this particular din, it's important for us to define who is the owner. Part of the analysis will be the concept of kinyan peros. The first owner who sold the servant but retained use of the servant for an additional 30 days, he is said to have a kinyan peros. He doesn't own the eved himself, but he's retained rights with respect to his performance and his work production. That's called fruit rights, literally, namely kinyan peros. The Gemara continues. Disanya hamocher es avdoi uposak imoi she yishamshenu shloishim yoin. Man sold his servant and entered an agreement with the buyer that the servant will continue serving the seller for another 30 days. One notices at this point in the Gemara the use of a bracket. And you'll note on the right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi a vertical dash dot line. One follows this with his eye, and he'll have to scroll now to Nun Amid Beis to find where that ends. This serves to show the extent of the bracketed section. In this case, we will skip the bracketed section initially, and we'll also glance at the note that explains the role of these brackets. There's a double asterisk in the outside margin. Matrat hasograim laharoi. The purpose of these sograim is to show the cholsibas havoas habraiso he kedei lagil l'shitas Reb Elozer, that the whole reason for bringing in this braisa was really to get to his shita. Where do you see Reb Elozer in this source? Of course, you see him at the end of the braisa. So as we had introduced the source, indicating a man sold his servant and retained use of the servant for 30 days, skipping to the end of the bracketed section, Reb Elozer Omer, Shnehem Einom Bedin Yoim Oyomayim. First owner, original owner, and now second owner, the buyer, neither one have the benefit of this leniency known as Yom Oyomayim. Ze lefi she'eno tachtov, the second one, if during those 30 days the buyer would have beaten the Eved, well, he is not in his service during those 30 days. So he's not really the owner. And as we mentioned before, the concept or this din of Yom Oyomayim is a leniency provided for person designated as owner. So Reb Elozer says that the buyer is not considered the owner during those 30 days. Vezeh lefi she'eno kaspoi. And the first guy is not considered the owner because the Eved is not considered his formal possession. Even though he is continuing to receive benefit from him, the first owner sold him off. The Omar Rava, my time of the Reb Elozer, what's the basis of his opinion? Reb Elozer's opinion being that neither one will have the leniency of Yom or Yomayim. Namely, if the Eved dies even after a long time, doesn't get better in the interim, the one who hit him, either the first guy or the second guy, the first owner, the new owner, they will be guilty on capital charges. What's the reason for this? Omar Kro, lo yukam ki kaspoi hu. That's the posuk. Kaspo hamiyuchad loy. The din of Yom Yomayim applies to an eved that is specified in his ownership. Namely, it's clear who the owner is. In this case, when you have the guf of the eved owned by one and the peros rights, the fruit rights, owned by the other, we don't have a clear owner. And in that spirit, the same thing with regard to the nichsei malug, which was our topic. Namely, the woman owns the principal, the husband has the fruit rights. So neither one is considered the owner. And as such, the nichsei malug cannot be sold. You don't have any one individual, the husband nor the wife, having sufficient power over the property to conclude a sale. This point is brought out in the Rashbam. You'll find him on the fourth narrow line. There's an asterisk to make it easier to find. Reading there, the Rashbam says, "Mishum hochina miyolef ameimar legabi nichsei malug." From the din of Rabbi Lozer, by the servant, Amemar learns likewise to the din of the Nichsei Malug, which was the topic we were discussing. The Kevon de Eino Miuchad Lo Leish Velo Leisha. Those properties are not specified in terms of ownership, neither to the man nor to the wife. Eino Korui Soda Ha'ish Velo Soda Ha'isha. Even if they both sold it, the sale would be void. And as a result of the sale being void, they could back out. So as we look over the general picture of the Gemara, we are gaining some degree of clarity. We had seen that from inference of the Mishnah that even though a man doesn't have a chazoka b'nichse ishto, he doesn't have a chazoka in his wife's properties, nevertheless, if he produces a sale document that the woman sold to him the properties, it would be considered a good sale. Then the Gemara had raised, but isn't there the claim of Nachas Ruach Hasisi Labaini, that her willingness to conduct the sale of her properties to the husband, or we saw in other cases where she seconds the motions of his sales, all of that is not with serious intent. And if that's the case, there would be no raya that he, the husband, can own her properties. The Gemara answered, all that is true, but not when you're talking about Nichsei Malug. When you're talking about Nichsei Malug, the sale that the wife conducts to her husband is of a serious nature. And if you'll ask, but Amemar says, Ish v'isha shemochim Nichsei Malug laws of Luklum, that the sale of Nichsei Malug by the wife or the husband is a non-sale, that is only because Amemar, who said that, holds like Rebbe Lozer, whom we just saw, to hold that unless the property is very specifically owned, there is no sale. However, the Rabbanan disagree. And the basis of our inference from the Mishnah then will be associated with the Rabbanan, that chazaka ein ha raya yesh, that the sale is good. Sale of Nichsei Malug. Let us go over the source, reading the entire bracketed section. We have at this point a sufficient amount of background to appreciate the source because, as mentioned earlier, the source focuses on the din of Yom or Yomayim with regard to hitting a servant and his subsequent death. Are there capital charges held against the owner who hit him? The Sanya, the beginning of the source. Hamocher es avdo uposak imo shishamshenu shloshim yom. Man sold his servant and made a condition that the servant will continue to serve the first owner for an additional 30 days. Rabbi Meir Omer. We have numbered the opinions of Tanoim that appear in the source, but as we go along, one has to bear in mind the general picture that the main source that was of interest to the Sugya is Shitas Rebbe Lozer that appears at the end of the source. And this is one of the benefits that we have in using the marking system, to see that which is central to the sugi at hand and that which is tangential. Continuing here, Rabbi Meir Omer, Horishon Yeshno Bedin Yoim O Yomayim, Mitnei Shehu Tachtov. The original owner, he will have the benefit of the din of Yom Yomayim, which we said at the outset was a leniency afforded to the one who's declared the real owner. So Rabbi Meir perceives the original owner to be the real owner during those 30 days of continued service. Why? Mipnei Shehu Tachtov. He is currently under his auspices. V'hasheni eno bedin yoim oyomayim, mipnei she eno tachtov. The one who bought the servant does not have the status of owner. He doesn't have the din of yom oyomayim. He doesn't have that leniency because he's not currently under his auspices. Kosovar, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, kinyan peros, kinyan haguf domi. The kinyan of the fruit use, that's a literal translation, but in this case, in the case of the Eved, the production, the kinyan, who has a kinyan on the production value of the Eved? That's the original owner during those 30 days. He had retained the kinyan peros. Kinyan haguf domi, that's considered as if he has a full-fledged kinyan stronghold on the Eved, and hence he is the owner. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hasheni Yeshno Bedin Yom Oyomayim, Bneishu Kaspoi. The purchaser, he is considered the real owner because the second fellow is the one that is said to own the principal of the Eved. That's referred to here as Kaspo. Horishon Eino Bedin Yom Oyomayim. She'eno kaspo, the first fellow who only has the kinyan peros, the fruit, the use rights to the Eved during those 30 days. Fruit use rights, yes, but principal owner of principal, no. Kosavar kinyan peros lav kinyan haguf domi. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the kinyan peros that the first one has is not considered kinyan haguf, is not considered owning the essential Eved. Rabbi Yossi Omer, third opinion, Shnehem yeshnon bedin yom yomayim. Both the first owner, original owner, and the new buyer have the leniency of yom yomayim. Both are considered true owners. Zeh mipnei shehu tachtov. The first guy, because he's currently in his domain, he's serving him. V'zeh mipnei shehu kaspo. And the second, the new buyer, is considered the owner because it's part of his portfolio of holdings, namely this servant. U misafko lei I kinyan peros kikinyan haguf domi, I lav kikinyan haguf domi. This third opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, he has a doubt concerning how do you categorize kinyan peros. Is it kinyan haguf or not? So based on the fact that he has a doubt, and we have a capital case at hand, we have an owner or a potential owner who might stand on murder charges. Who is the real owner? So Rabbi Yossi has a suffix about that. Hence, we have a principle that needs to be applied here, and that is suffix. The more the Bryce says here, the suffix nefoshos mahokale. How does that manifest itself here? The leniency because of the suffix in a capital case. The question is, who is going to benefit from the din of Yom HaYomayim? Yom HaYomayim is a leniency. Hence, if I'm not sure who the owner is, I'm going to say, Sofek Nefoshos Lahakel, and I'll say, Well, let us consider both of them, the owner, to benefit from this leniency. That's called Sofek Nefashos Lahokel. Rebbe Elazar Omer, Shnehem Einon Bedin Yoim Oyomayim. Neither the first owner or the new buyer, second owner, are considered owners as far as this din is concerned. Ze lefi she'eno tachtov, veze lefi she'eno kaspo. The first guy, well, it's not kaspo. The second guy, he's not, the eved is not tachtov, he's not in his domain, he's continuing for another 30 days working for the original guy. The Omar Rova, my taimo de Rebbe Elazar. What's the basis of Rebbe Elazar? Because Rebbe Elazar is really saying a chidush. He's saying that even though that neither one is considered the owner, and we're going to subject both of them to capital charges, unbound by time. So we have to find a source for that stringency. Rava suggests, Omar Kro, lo yukam ki kaspoi hu. The din of Yom Yomayim regards someone who we can describe as kaspo hu. Kaspo hamiyuchod lo. The person who has specific ownership, where the kesef is miyuchad, is singularly his. And as we said before, similarly with regard to the nichsei malug, neither the husband nor the wife have singular possession of it. The husband has fruit rights, the woman has the kinyan haguf on the property, hence their sale of nichsei malug would be botel. And that's the basis of Amemar, who said, Ish v'isho shemokum nichsim lug, michron botel. The Gemara goes on, V'lo ish, chazoko, benichsei ishto. A man doesn't gain a chazoka in his wife's property as well. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. You'll notice a double asterisk. The Rashbam across from here in the Gemara, in the Rashbam commentary. The Komatma Gemara, Velo Ish Chazoka Benichse Ishto Bitmiha. That's with wonderment, with a tone of wonderment, that a man does not gain a chazoka on his wife's property. Alma eino tzricho limchois bebaila. Based on that, the woman would not be expected to protest her husband's use of her property, hoyo v'les le chazoka, since he can't gain a chazoka on it, so we don't expect her to protest. With that question in mind, one will realize that the Gemara doesn't spell out the question as such. So in the Gemara, we're saying that a husband does not gain a chazok on his wife's properties, and hence a wife is not expected to issue protests. That a married woman has to protest against one who's using her properties, biman, who against whom is she supposed to issue her protest? As far as the markings, you noticed a double underline. The double underline are attempts to explain whom is the woman supposed to protest against. Rav having said that a Eishes Ish, a married woman, has to issue a protest, biman, against whom? Ilemo bi'acher, if you're to think that the machzik is some outsider, and Rav says she is expected to issue a protest. Ve'ho'omar Rav, ein machzikin benichse eishes ish. The Rashbam. Ein machzikin benichse eishes ish. The motzi omro, the woman, can always say, al ba'ali somachti, shehu yimche v'ya'er. I, says the woman, was silent because I was assuming my husband would issue a protest. Ubishar b'nei Adam, the low Baal ko'omar Rav, and regarding other people, someone other than the Baal, Rav said the ein machzikin. Shekein mashma ein machzikin loshen rabim. Everyone is not machzik. Outsiders. The od the ibe Baal ko'omar ein machzikin haynu mas nisen. And secondly, if you think that Rav, who says Ein Machzik Nichse Ish Es Ish, was referring to the husband, that's what the Mishnah already said. Lo Liish Chazok B'Nichse Ishto Mayos Lashmina. Rav isn't going to just tell us what the Mishnah says. So we think that maybe Rav's din that Isha Eish Es Ish Tricho Limchos. Who's the Machzik? Maybe it refers to outsiders. But to that, that can't be. Rav himself said, Ein machzikin benichse eishes ish. Elo lav, the Baal. What do we see? That a Baal, if Rav's din, where we had circled his name, Rav said that an Eishes Ish, a married woman, she has to protest. Against whom? We can't say that she has to protest against outsiders, because as far as that's concerned, we said, Ein Machzik B'Nichse Eishes Ish. So against whom is she expected to protest? Against her husband. Oh, if she's expected to protest against her husband, it must be that a husband can gain a Chazok B'Nichse Ishto. But then we have a problem with the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that a husband doesn't gain a chazaka nichse ishto. We have to resolve Rav with the Mishnah. The diamonds that you see here, as the Gemara goes on, are in fact responses, and this is indicated on the side in our marking key. The diamonds are tshuvois liyashev Rav imam Mishnah, to resolve Rav with the halacha of the Mishnah. Gemara says, number one, Omar Rova le'olam bebaal. We're talking about a woman who is expected to protest against the Baal, who is machzik b'nichse ishto. That's what the circled Rav din, eishes ish tzricho limchos, against the husband. Ukegon shechofar bo boros shichinu ma'oros. The husband wasn't merely using the field for fruits, he was digging out pits in the field. Oh, you see, the husband is digging out pits in the wife's field. Under circumstances like that, she has to be moche. You notice in our marked edition a bracketed section. We will skip the bracketed section momentarily to create a sense of continuity in the answers. We have to resolve, once again, Rav with the Mishnah. The Mishnah indicated a person doesn't get a chazaka b'nichse ishto. On the other hand, Rav said that a married woman has to protest. If we expect her to protest, it must be, if she doesn't, that a husband does gain a chazaka b'nichse ishto. So the Rav Yosef Omar li'olam bi'acher. That which Rav said, that an eishes ish tzricho limchos, she has to protest against an outsider. But what are the circumstances? Ukegon she'ochlo miktsas chazoka b'chai habal, v'sholosh la'achar mises habal. The user used it partially while the husband was alive, but an additional 3 years after the husband died. Migu the iboy omar, the machzik, since the machzik could say, ano zavinto minoch, I bought the property from you, he could say that to the woman. Ki omar lo nami at zavinto lei v'zon nihali mehemon. Therefore, if the machzik says, you sold it to him, and he sold it to me, he would also be believed. So in order to prevent the acher from gaining chazoka, that's what Rav's original din was, that Eish HaSish Tzricho Limchos. We skipped a section of Gemara. Let us go back over it, starting again from the diamond Rava. Omar Rava, le'olam bebal. A husband was machzik benichse ishto, and on that score, Rav had said that an eish hasish tzricho limchos. Ah, you'll say if the husband was using it, he was using it for his fruits, and it should be obvious to us that he doesn't gain a chazaka. So why does the eish hasish have to protest? Ukegon shechofar bo boros shichun moros. The husband had wrought physical damage to the field by digging out pits in the field itself. The Gemara asks, "V'Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Avua, Ein Chazoka LeNezikin." If it's a function of damaging the field, like in the case of digging out pits, that doesn't gain a person a chazoka. The Gemara rejects that question. Emo, the statement of Ein Chazoka LeNezikin should be restated thusly, Ein Din Chazoka LeNezikin. Din Chazoka means 3 years. Only after 3 years, generally speaking, we say one gains a Chazoka. However, in the case of digging out pits, the Chazoka would be immediate. If that be the case, we can understand what Rav meant when he said, Eish HaSish Tzricho Limchos, if she sees her husband digging pits out in her property, he will gain a chazok immediately because of Ein Din Chazoka, unless she protests. Let's take a look at the Rashbam. Emo ein din chazoka. Litzorech sholosh shanim lenezikin. Hecho de chizkosoy al yedei nezikin. The idea of waiting 3 years, if you're dealing with the use in a damaging form, 3 years is a non-time frame. Elo la'alter havi chazoka. The ein odom roya shemazikin karka sheloi b'shos, like a person would never stand by and watch his karka being ruined and remain silent. Ela moicha miyad. Vehecho de lo mocha hifsid. And if there isn't an immediate protest, they will lose. Vehilkoch. Eish HaSish dekoma Rav tzricho limchos. Rav, who said that a married woman has to protest. Miyad hu de tzricho limchos. Meachar shechofer bo baal boros. Sheinam roj ezek v'shoseka. In this case, the wife isn't going to watch her field be ruined. Vilkoch ki hai gavno yesh lo chazoka. If the husband successfully digs pits while his wife remains silent, that would show us that he sold it to her. Continuing in the Gemara, ve'i boyes emo ho itmar alo. We had recently raised a question, how could it be that Rava said that the husband can gain a chazaka, and that was an explanation of Rav's din that Eishes Ish Tzricha Limchos by his digging. The Gemara then had asked, but Ein Chazaka LeNezikin. So, with regard to that question, the Gemara says now, Viboy Seimo, Ha Itmar Allah, Rav Mori Omar Bekutra, Rav Zvid Omar Bebeis Akise. The concept of Ein Chazaka LeNezikin would mean that if a person was causing smoke to rise into his neighbor's property, and the neighbor had let that go by for a while, and one day the neighbor expresses discontent with the smoke, he has a right to protest the smoke because of the concept of Ein Chazokel in Ezekin, which is limited to the case of smoke. And Rav Zvid Omer Bebeis Akisei, where it's a function of that disturbing the neighbor. But if you're talking about other forms of nezikin, then yesh chazaka l'nezikin. Hence, Rava's claim will stand that we're talking about a husband who is mazik the woman's property. If she remains silent, he will gain a chazaka, and that's what Rav meant at the point that he was circled at eishes ish tzricha limchos. She has to protest if she sees him using it in a damaging fashion. And don't ask the question of Ein Chazoka L'Nezikin, because that is a limited concept to Kutra or Beis Hakisei. As far as the continuation of the Gemara, we did that before when we presented the answer of Rav Yosef before we did the section contained in the brackets. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.
Okay, I'll tell you.